Isn't it great to greet each other? Isn't it a great morning, great time to meet together? Let me pray as we've come to continue just reflecting upon that time which we call Easter, a time where we reflect upon God's grace and love through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give thanks and pray. Father, as we come this morning with hearts open, perhaps from weeks which haven't been easy, perhaps they've been hard weeks, perhaps it hasn't been a joyful week. But Father, may there has been times of greatness, of happiness, of joy. But Father, as we come this morning, may we just focus upon your word and what you've done for us, and not only what you have done, but what you will continue doing in our journey of hope. But Father, we ask that you'll just bless our time this morning. We ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A young parachutist was learning to jump. He was given the following instructions. First, jump when you are told. Second, count to 10 and pull the ripcord. Third, in the very, very, very unlikely event that it doesn't open, pull the second chute open. Fourth, when you get down, a truck will be waiting for you and will take you back to base. The plane took off and ascended to the proper height, and the people started peeling out, and the young parachutist jumped when told. He counted to 10 and pulled the cord, but the chute failed to open. He proceeded to the backup plan. He pulled the cord on the second chute. It too failed. And I suppose he complained to himself, the truck won't be there either when I get down. Disillusionment. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been focusing upon the Easter event. First, David Price helped us to think about the price of hope. We looked at Luke 22 and 23. The last Sunday, Daryl spoke about the rumour of hope, focusing upon Mark 16. Well, this Sunday, to complete the series of Hope at Easter, we're going to focus on the journey of hope. We're going to look at the account of the road to Emmaus we find in Luke 24, verses 13 to 35, which we'll read the end bits a bit later, which illustrate the importance of ongoing hope and the resurrection of Jesus, and significantly the impact of us in our journeys of hope moving forward. In doing so, we come across a person who appears only once in Scripture, and only once, only in Luke, Cleopas. He's a Jewish man, a disciple of Jesus, a man who is disillusioned. Let me set the setting for us. In Luke 24, verse 13, we find this. Now behold, two of them were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus. Interestingly, after rising from the dead and first appearing to three women, including Mary Magdalene, Jesus now appears to two disciples. Were they two men? We're not quite certain. Scripture doesn't mention it. Verse 18 tells us one of them is Cleopas. This is the first and only time he's mentioned in Scripture. Some think that it was Luke because he wrote this down, but we're not certain who these disciples were. But we are told it was the same day, the day after the Sabbath. It was the Sunday. They were walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about 11K out, about a 2 to 3 hour walk. Can I tell you that the roads back then weren't sealed like a freeway? I've walked some of the roads and they're not too bad now, but perhaps the picture I showed before could have been what they looked like. There was a sense of bewilderment. Walking away, disillusion, almost defeated. Jesus was dead. In verse 14, they talked together of all the things which had happened. According to verse 17, the tone of the conversation was sadness. They talked and reasoned, how? Why? What happened? What now? Can you imagine some of the conversations? Only 7 days ago, when we were entering Jerusalem, they were singing Hosanna, joys, celebration. Yes, there was a bit of controversy in the temple, altercation with those Sadducees and chief priests. But there's so much excitement, especially because of the Passover, when we shared it. And Jesus did something amazing out of the Passover. Then the whole denial thing with Peter. And then the crucifixion. But why? We thought, we expected so much more, so much hope. But then we find the risen Jesus joins them. Verse 18 tells us that Jesus was a stranger to them. The two disciples did not recognize him. The three talk. Jesus asks, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Cleopas says to Jesus in the second part of verse 18, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened there in these days? Everyone knew what was going on. I think I mentioned it the other day. One of the theologians, a guy called Josephus, wrote about the actual Passover and the amount of people who came to Jerusalem not long after this one. There was 2.7 million people came to visit Jerusalem for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's a lot of people have come into Jerusalem. And Cleopas says, don't you know what happened? Are you just a stranger here? Jesus asks them, what things? And Cleopas gives an answer. The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God, and all the people. There was a number of differing thoughts and understanding of who Jesus was even then. Some had thought Jesus was just a great man. Some thought he was a prophet. Some thought he was the Messiah who would deliver them, redeem them from Roman's power. But also, as we thought about on Good Friday, as we thought about John 3:17, he was the Saviour. Jesus came to save, not to condemn, but to provide eternal life. It would appear Cleopas and the other were not certain, especially now. You know, those various understandings of who Jesus was and is are still prevalent today. Some are not certain. Not certain what to do with Jesus. Others just want to ignore it. Well, it doesn't really mean anything at all. But the question I've got to ask is, what about you? What are you doing with Jesus? What have you done over this last week? How's it impacting your life? Or isn't it? Or just trying to ignore it? Then Cleopas continued. The chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. See, even though Pilate, the Roman governor, signed the papers, the blame placed squarely on the Jewish leadership. Peter reinforced that during his sermon on that day of Pentecost to all those Jews at that time. And he said to them, Peter, of course, now filled with the Holy Spirit, is much more out there. And he said to them, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Can you imagine the looks on their faces? This Jesus who you crucified, he is the Lord and he is your Messiah. And they were devastated. So much of the past few days have focused on Jesus' death. The betrayal and beating to Jesus, the way of sorrows to the cross, the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial by Joseph and Nicodemus. Cleopas says in Luke 24, verse 21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem us, redeem Israel. You know, hope is a powerful thing. We all need hope. Carl Menninger wrote, hope is the major weapon against the suicide impulse. Hope is an important part for us to live in life. However, people's hopes are dashed at different times. It was interesting listening to the news over the last couple of days and the Russian, just Ukraine conflict, and the hope that some of those people, that it just wouldn't be there anymore. And some are just saying, I'm just over it. They didn't have hope anymore. The recent earthquake in Myanmar, and the problems with, there's a civil war going at the same time. People, I hope that we could have got this solved. Hope, the upcoming federal just election. Leave that one alone. What's your hope in, though? Most of us have hope in something for the future. Stock market, goodness of people, sports people being a good role model for our younger generation, government's ability to impact climate change. William Bromwell wrote, whatever happens, don't lose your hold on the two main ropes of faith, hope and faith. If you do, God pity you, because then you are adrift without sail or an anchor. Also, Frederick, the great king of Prussia, wrote in the mid-1700s, the time I live is in a time of turmoil. My hope is in the Lord God. You could almost write that just today, couldn't you? The times we live in now are a time of turmoil. What's your hope in? Is your hope in that it will be okay? It's just a moment in time. There will be peace. I'm not quite certain that's how it's going to be. What's your hope in at this time? Well, Cleopas shares more about their doubt. Luke 24, 21, we find, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Obviously, they had heard Jesus telling them and the other disciples that he, the Son of Man, would be handed over to the Gentiles, be mocked and insulted and spat upon. They would scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again, we find in Luke 9, verse 22. But now they had doubts. Doubts that first Easter morning. They were in despair over what happened. The women came to embalm him, and we find in verse 22. They doubted the women. As they said some things, they just doubted the women. It's almost like, it's about me. I've lost all my hope. Well, Jesus comes to the rescue, fortunately. Oh, foolish ones. I love that. Isn't that great? You idiots. No, foolish ones. And slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter not his glory? Brothers and sisters, we too can sometimes find ourselves in times of doubt. Perhaps during times of illness, of cancer, why me? Perhaps in goodness versus the grace of God, I'm not good enough for God. Am I saved? Am I not saved? I was speaking to someone at the Mustard Tree on Thursday, and he was sharing a few things, and he came and asked if one of the pastors could pray. Well, I was the only one there. But it was interesting as he started to share out his life, and I think I do remember him saying at the very beginning, "You tell me about your life first." He's pointing to me. I said, "Well, you share some of yours first." And he went. I think I got a word in somewhere on the way through. But as he talked about it, what he was telling me was he was struggling in his journey. I believe that he was a believer, but he was struggling. He was struggling in doing something. He was struggling when he fell short. And I pointed him to that great passage in 1 John 1:9. "If you say that you're without sin, you're a liar." And I said, that's written to believers. If you say that you're without sin, you're a liar. I said, this part of the journey, you are going to struggle, unfortunately. But when you turn to God and ask for forgiveness, he's there to forgive you. You remember a couple of weeks ago, we started a short little series on living a life of holiness. And I said to him, this is what it's about. You are holy, you are a believer, but now the challenge is to live a life of holiness. We're going to go back to that next week. There's some homework for you this week, okay? Read through 1 Peter. Read through 1 Peter. And I want you to write down the do's and don'ts of what a believer should and should not be doing. 1 Peter, do's and don'ts. There'll be an exam. No, there won't be an exam. I will be focusing upon it next Sunday, though, okay? As we return to call to a life of holiness. See, we too can easily take our focus off the events of Easter. Take our focus off of Jesus and focus on ourselves, our own journeys. This is what Cleopas and the other disciples were doing. It's about them now. It's failed. I thought so much was going to happen. Now what? We might as well just walk away from the cross, from what Jesus has done. And we too can be slow of heart to believe. Believe perhaps in who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us. And not putting our hope in him. And I shared with this about this guy. I said, it's not about you. It's not about your goodness. You'll never be good enough. And he said, I know that. It's about what Jesus Christ has done for you upon the cross. He died and paid the penalty for your sin. And as you believe that and accept who Jesus Christ is and accept that he's paid the penalty, then you are saved. It's not about goodness. It's about grace. It's about grace. If you haven't done that, don't put it off. I've spoken with people in the past and they say, well, I'll get round to it one day. Yeah, sure. I remember leading a guy to the Lord when I was pastor at Aberfeldy Baptist Church. He was 93. He gave his life to the Lord 3 days before he died. I was in the hospital with him. And I said, I just spoke to him about it. I said, look, don't leave it. You don't know how many more days you've got on earth here now. Don't have a hard heart. At least think about it. Don't just ignore. It's easy in times of doubt, times of fear, hard times to take a focus off what he's doing and has done. What he has in store for us and the promise that we are never alone. In your news sheet, if you haven't got one, there's one you only picked up. You would have found in the news sheet this week Jesus' words in Matthew 28 verse 20. And teach them to do everything I've told you, and I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the age. You as a believer are never alone. Never alone. But to Cleopas, the other disciple, the focus was on them. What now? What will we do? Just go back away from Jerusalem, away from Jesus. Why couldn't they recognize Jesus? Luke 24:31 refers to their eyes being opened later on. So obviously they couldn't immediately recognize Jesus. Different appearance? We're not sure. Scripture doesn't reveal that to us. Jesus talks to the two, walks with them along the road, meets them in a time of doubt, a time of fear, a time of loneliness, same as he does for you and for me, for all of us who are part of God's family. We sometimes just need to slow down and be quiet. Well, as they drew near to the village, most probably Emmaus, at the end of the day, the two encouraged Jesus to share a meal with them. We find in Luke 24, verse 30, he sat at the table with them and he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Was this communion? Was this the two elements as we thought about on Good Friday, the two elements that he took out of the Passover, the Afikoman bread, the cup of redemption? We're not quite certain. We don't know. But as we will do next Sunday, which will be the first Sunday of the month, at the Lord's table, it's a great time to remember. It's so important. Our focus goes off of us and on to Jesus. We recall again, our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is not dependent on our emotions. Our faith is placed on the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross and our belief in that. Then after the two have seen, realized, they can recall the things that Jesus had shared with them on the road. And we find in verse 32. Jenny, can you flick it for me? It's frozen. 32. Thank you. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Do you have times like that? I was only someone which I think it was my sister was sharing. We rang up. Sister lives in Brisbane, and she said they had a Good Friday service the Good Friday service, wasn't it? She said it was some, she'd been a Christian for a long time. She said a scripture was actually read. She said for the first time she said to him, I realized Joseph wasn't at the cross. She said, yeah, he was already dead. She said, I hadn't seen it before. And she was so surprised. Does scripture surprise you? Should it surprise you? I hope it surprises you as you read it, as God reveals something afresh, something new, out of scripture. And it's so important for us to keep on meeting together, to focus on scripture, to meet in groups. I shared with this guy on the other day. I said in Hebrews, there's a passage in Hebrews 10 which says, don't stop meeting just together as some are in the habit of doing. This is a time we meet together in your life groups. When we go to just conventions, and you knew she's and more conventions at Belgrave Heights, a seniors one, a men's one, these are great times to learn. I love singing. There's something about Sunday morning. I just love to sing. Not too many other guys. We don't sing at table tennis on a Monday night. I wonder why that is. I must try it. See if I can get the guys into Amazing Grace. I'm not going to say it's going to happen too much. But there's something about joining together, isn't there? Raising our voice. Even if you can't sing, you know, no one really hears you. In heaven, your voice will be perfect. Look forward to that one coming up. But isn't it great to join together? Belgrave Heights is another place, other community. We need to be continuing courage, growing in our faith all the way through. There are many things we could learn from Luke's record of the road to Emmaus, but there are two very important things. Hope. Good Friday is so important, but it's only part of God's redemption plan. We completed the dawn service at the little old lake on Sunday morning about 7 o'clock. We sang this song, Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. But as Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 1:3, this is a great passage. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth in a living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, Friday, penalty paid, curtain torn, access open to the Lord God of all. But Sunday is the hope, the assurance of life after death. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15, if Jesus hadn't arisen, your faith is futile. It's rubbish. But our focus is not on a dead Christ, it's in a risen Christ. Christ is risen? Close. Work better on Sunday. But you see why the promise is. Paul reminds us, Jesus is the first fruits of those who are risen. And we will be those after. The promise is there in Scripture. You, if you believe in who Jesus Christ is, what he's done, you will rise again. Because Christ is a living hope, not a dead hope. He's a living hope. And the second, prior to our commencement of that life after death in our resurrected state, we don't journey alone now. Because Jesus is the living Lord. He can make and fulfill the promises made in Matthew 28, verse 20, that he journeys with us. We never journey along in our Christian walk. You may have not quite certain, I know it was a fairly newer song that we sang before. Christ is our hope in life and death. Not Christ is our hope in death. Christ is our hope in life and death. Now. Your hope is now. Because the Lord is with us. Certainly Cleopas had someone else with him. We have a church family here at LBC. And yes, it's so important that as church brothers and sisters, we encourage each other, support each other. But the Lord Jesus' promise is specifically fulfilled in the presence of the Spirit of the Lord given to us. In Galatians 4:4 we find, because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. Hope, never alone. There's a song we're going to sing in a few moments. And the first verse goes like this. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depth of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in his light and wrote his law of righteousness with power upon my heart. That's hope. That's hope. The second verse goes like this. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fear to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take now, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. Never alone. What was Cleopas and the other disciples' just response? It says that very moment, that very hour, and it was 11K back to Jerusalem. I imagine they ran. They walked much faster than they did when they went. they were leaping. It was a whole new revelation to them. As we read in Luke 24:33-36. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told them about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in breaking of the bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." Well, the good news is the parachute did finally open and the truck was there. But my question for you is, what about your parachute? What about your hope? What's it in? That parachute was the thing which saved that man. Is Jesus the person who's going to save you? Has saved you? What is your parachute in? What are you hoping for? My hope is not that Australia will be the great country or America. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And that God, the God of all creation, has it all under control, even when it doesn't look like it to us. And who are we to question God? What is your hope in? But then what about the van? How's your journey going? How's your walking life now? Are you the only one in the van? Or are there others in the van with you? That's the big questions, isn't it, for us all? This is what the Easter message is about. It's not about just Good Friday, but it's about Easter Sunday, and it's about the road to Emmaus. Hope and never alone. Let's sing that song which I mentioned before. My heart is filled with thankfulness.